Everybody. Amen. You may be seated today. I am glad to be here with all of you. And I enjoyed the service last night tremendously. Thank you, Brother Riggin, for that great preaching. Amen. As I was coming into the parking lot today, I saw on the sign that I would be teaching. So I guess that means I'm not going to be preaching. I heard Brother Epley say some time ago, the difference in preaching and teaching is when you're preaching, you're yelling. When you're teaching, you're telling. Amen. We'll see what happens here today. I appreciate all of the ministry that's here. I love Brother and Sister Epley and have enjoyed knowing them through the years. Brother Epley has been aptly called the walking encyclopedia of apostolics, and I love him for that, but I also love him for his spirit and his love for this truth. Amen. I love men who love this gospel. Praise the Lord. Appreciate the other men who will be preaching here this week. I do regret I will not be able to be here. The room is so nice. Thank you, Brother Epley. I hated to leave it this morning. And I am taking that candy home with me, though. And I appreciate that, all that's been done to make my stay here comfortable. I do miss my family today. But be heading home here in a little while. But I wanted to say how much I appreciate you, Brother Couch. I love you very much today. When I was a boy, I guess 10 or 11 years old, Brother Couch came to JS preaching. And what a powerful ministry he had. The first notable miracle I remember seeing in the church was while Brother Couch was there preaching at JS. Amen. A young lady had been in a wreck. She had a broken leg. She was not in church, but she came to church. And during those revival services, God healed her. I watched her raise her crutches in the air, run around the church. God filled her with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I knew then, this is real. Mom and Daddy, not just saying this. This is real. Praise the Lord. I love Brother Burgess. We were just with them in Colorado. What a beautiful time we had there. Appreciate him. Brother Burbridge, God bless you. Appreciate your ministry also. And to all the other ministers who are here, God bless you. Brother Emerson, so good to see you. And a lot of friends in the building today. Amen. I'm glad to see Sister Triplett. I love this lady from a long time ago. I remember this was another thing that happened at JS. I was a little kid, and she was much younger then, but we were having camp meeting under the tabernacle, and I think it was Brother Randy showed up, not too much in church, and his mother-in-law got a hold of him. And I thought, wow, that's a praying lady. Something moved when Sister Triplett started praying. Praise God. I love you, Sister Triplett. I love Brother Randy and Sister Shannon from my home church in JS. Good to see them. Brother Daniel's here. Good to see him. All of my friends who are here, God bless you today. 54th camp meeting. I certainly honor the memory of Brother Triplett. I remember many messages that he preached in JS, in our camp meeting, and at other times. And what a man of God, and I treasure the memories that I have of him. Praise the Lord. It's good to be here today. Stand with me, if you will. And we will open our Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 4. I'd like to begin at verse 13, reading down through verse 20. Praise the Lord. I love the way these pastors talk about food they're going to have after church. Praise the Lord. Just kind of throw these hints to the preacher. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm hungry too. I've never starved to death while I was preaching. I got pretty hungry while some other guys were preaching. We were over there in Texas, and they were talking about the food they had. They had all that brisket. Brother Gross was preaching that day. And they kept talking about 400 pounds of brisket. And finally, might have been you, Brother Epley, told Brother Gross, said, "Brother Gross, the only thing between us and 400 pounds of brisket is 200 pounds of bologna." Anyway, today it's ham. All right. Luke chapter 4 and verse 13. "And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. When he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.' And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him." Let us pray together. God, we love you today. Thank you for the great preaching last night, the singing, the exhortation here today, the touch of your presence. We thank you for that, Lord. God, I pray that you would anoint me, your servant, today. Bless your people today, Lord. God, let this service be ordained in heaven, and let your purposes be carried out in this earth. We ask it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And you may be seated today. I want to speak to you today and just talk to you about this thing called the synagogue. Amen. The synagogue. I was reading this text one day and studying through here and trying to gain some insight into the word of the Lord. And this word about the synagogue just began to kind of jump out at me. I was not familiar with the synagogue, at least what it was in Bible times. We've been taught about the tabernacle, and we've been taught about the temple, and we've been taught of all of these things, but I had never heard anybody say too much about the synagogue. I at first didn't even understand if the Bible was actually talking about the temple. And so I began to dig a little deeper, and I began to study and learn some things about the synagogue. The synagogue, of course, was not the temple. The synagogue was an entirely different house of worship. It was an entirely different place of worship. It was not connected with the temple. Although in the synagogue the Jews did come to worship, there were other people who joined them there. The synagogue, as far as we know, was started during the time of the Babylonian captivity, when the Israelites had been taken from their homeland and the temple that Solomon had built had been destroyed. There were people who were scattered throughout the region who remembered what it was like to go to that temple and worship. They remembered what it was like for the priest to stand and read from the law and the prophets and the songs, the psalms that they had. But here they were in a strange land. And they began to say things like we find in Psalm 137. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. There were people who had been raised around the temple, who perhaps had taken it for granted, but once it was gone, they missed it. Once they were removed from their homeland, they missed going down to the temple, watching the priest go through his daily ritual and routine. Though they perhaps had taken it for granted, they found out that when it was gone, they missed it. Somewhere along the way, somebody got hungry to read some scripture. And so they found in their possession some scripture. And they got together on a Sabbath day. And there they began to read. And so it was for some several hundred years until the time that Jesus walked this earth. There were men in every country and every region around Jerusalem. But where hungry hearts got together, they found they had a common interest in the Word of God. By the time that Jesus Christ began to walk this earth, the place where the common man was gathered was at the synagogue. And so there began in that time people that gathered together with common interest in the Word of the Lord. By the time Jesus walked into the synagogue at the age of 30, the synagogue worship had found a basis and a routine. They had found a method of what they did. They had a order of worship, if you please. And so let me take a little time and tell you what they did in the synagogue. The synagogue that Jesus walked into perhaps looked much like this building today, minus the comforts of padded pews, minus the comforts of the air conditioning, minus the PA system, minus the carpet. Basically, they had walls and a roof, and they would come into most likely a rectangular building. At one end of the building, there was some kind of a platform, little raised platform that had an ark on it. And in that ark, they kept the scrolls, they kept the law, they kept the prophets, they kept the Psalms. They did have lamps for lighting. They did have a minister that would work there during the week, keeping the building clean. They had a ruler for the synagogue, and they had an order for their worship. When they would gather on the Sabbath day in the synagogue at the appointed time, the very first thing that they would do was to recount the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. That was the basis of their worship at that time. And then they would go along through their routine. They would have a delegate of the congregation who was not an appointed position, but each week a different man would come forward and he would read from the scripture, and then he would preach or comment on the scripture. They had those there who would receive the offering and disperse the alms to the poor and the widows and so forth. Amen. And we have, as I studied this, I thought, well, this is so much like what we do in 2013. This is the pattern of our worship. I saw here they had people to receive the offering. I thought, how many services I've been in where we praised and worshiped the Lord, and until finally the person leading the service would come forward and say, we feel like the Lord has had His way, and so we're not going to have any preaching tonight. I thought, well, I've never heard a man say, we feel like the Lord has had His way, we're not going to receive an offering tonight. We kind of have our routines that we go through. We have an order, and the Bible does teach order about our worship. Let all things be done decently and in order. There's an old quotation by a Frenchman that said, give us order, which without liberty is bondage, and give us liberty, which without order is a delusion. Praise the Lord. I'm not so much interested in so much liberty that the devil comes in and brings confusion, but neither am I interested in the type of order and programming that eliminates the move of the Holy Ghost in our services. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So they had the order to their service. They had a few seats around the front. These were called the chief seats. And then everybody else more than likely sat on the floor or maybe stood around the walls. You will remember that Jesus spent much of his time in the synagogues. During Paul's ministry, you find him throughout the book of Acts visiting the synagogues. Why? Because those people were already trained in the scriptures. They just needed a little nudging in the right direction. They needed a little understanding to say John's baptism was unto repentance. But there's another baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. Praise the Lord. So when Paul would go into a city, he would find the synagogue because there were people there that already believed the scripture. In Acts chapter 9, he went in the synagogue in Damascus. Acts chapter 13, he was in the synagogue in Salamis and Antioch in Pisidia. Acts chapter 14, he was in the synagogue in Iconium. Acts chapter 17, in the synagogues in Thessalonica and Berea and Athens. Acts chapter 19, he was in the synagogue in Ephesus. These synagogues were here and had been there for a long, long time. And so it's no wonder that Jesus walked into the synagogue during his earthly ministry. We find him in the temple at 8 days old for the rite of circumcision. We find him in the temple at the age of 12 disputing with the elders of that day. But when he came to preach and when he came to teach, he went to where the common man was found. He went to where the hungry person was. Praise the Lord. Isaiah said in the Old Testament, chapter 45 and verse 15, verily thou art a God that hidest thyself. And so in Old Testament times, the closer you got to God, the more exclusive the company you were in. The closer you got to the presence of God and the glory of God, the more requirements were made upon a man or a person. We find that Moses and his brother Aaron began to talk to God and be the leaders for the people of Israel. And God established a priesthood after the order of Aaron being the high priest and the tribe of Levi being the priest and those that would minister in the tabernacle and subsequently the temple of Almighty God. And I want to tell you today, just because you were born an Israelite did not mean you could casually walk into the tabernacle at that time. No, you had to be born of the tribe of Levi. But just because you were born into the right tribe did not mean either that you could walk into the temple anytime you so pleased. If you were of the tribe of Levi but not a son of Aaron, you could not be a high priest in that day. And so the closer you got to God, the more exclusive the company you were. Thou art a God that hidest thyself. And even being born into the right tribe and the right family, the Bible said that the Lord told Moses, he said, I want you to tell Aaron, whosoever he be of thy seed in their generation that hath any blemish, let him not approach to offer the bread of his God. And so even if you were born an Israelite and then in the tribe of Levi and the family of Aaron, even being a son of Aaron did not guarantee that you would be able to approach to the Holy of Holies. You would not be able to pass the curtain of separation, the veil in the temple. You would not necessarily be able to go in and see the glory cloud come down throne over the mercy seat and hear the voice of God speaking. He said, if they have a blemish, don't let them come and offer the bread. And these were some of the blemishes that were named. If he's blind, he cannot come. If he's lame, he cannot come. If he has a flat nose or anything superfluous, if he has a broken foot or a broken hand, if his back is crooked, if he's too short, if he's a dwarf, if he has a blemish in his eye, and the list goes on. He said, if he has a blemish, even though he be of the seed of Aaron, he still cannot come and offer this offering. Aaron's sons got crossed up. Nadab and Abihu walked into the presence of the Lord casually with strange fire on their censer, and the presence of the Lord smote them and killed them. God was teaching them, you cannot approach unto me just any old way you please. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So Jesus has walked the earth now. He's 30 years old. By Jewish standards, he's a full-grown man. Most likely, this was his very first time to be selected as the minister, as the reader for the day. And so we pick up back in our text, and Jesus is back in the synagogue where he's been brought up. He's at the place where he's been every Sabbath day since he was a child. He had a custom to be there. And so today is his day to read. And he stands at the lectern, and the minister brings the scroll, and there it's opened up. And the Bible said he found the book of Isaiah, and he began to read. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it to the minister. And the Bible said he sat down, praise the Lord, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. It was nothing new for a 30-year-old man to walk in the synagogue for the first time and read a scripture. And here they were with their arms crossed, leaning back in the best yoga position and saying, what's the new guy going to say today? They were looking at him kind of like some of you are looking at me right now. Praise the Lord. They just came to hear another pretty little Bible lesson. Somebody new to read the scripture, and we'll go on about our business. But the Bible said, he said to them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And now you see that the God of the Old Testament, who was hiding himself, has now been manifest in the flesh, and he's walking among men, and they're touching him, and they're beseeching him, and they're falling at his feet. The God of the Old Testament is revealed in the New Testament as Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He came to this earth to preach the gospel. He came to this earth to heal the sick. He came to this earth to bind up the wounds of the brokenhearted. And bless your heart, he came to this service to help somebody here today. Praise the Lord. Come on, if you believe it, worship the Lord right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now they've seen many a 30-year-old come into their synagogue. These folks are professionals by now. They know how to critique every point of the sermon. They know how to critique his understanding of the Hebrew language. They know how to critique his understanding of the prophets. But they would bear witness later, we've never heard anybody speak on this wise. We've never heard anybody talk with authority like this man. The Bible said they bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. They said, my, that's just Joseph's son. Yes, but what they did not know also, not only
only was he known to be Joseph's son, he was the son of the living God. He was the son of man in the flesh, but in the spirit, he was the son of the living God. He was Almighty God wrapped up in a robe of flesh, and he came to this world to reconcile the world unto himself. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He knew their hearts. He knew their spirits. And he began to talk to them. He said unto them that day, no prophet is accepted in his own country. Oh, but he gave them a great principle. He said, I'm going to tell you, back in Elijah's day, there were many widows in Israel, but none of the widows had the meal added to their barrel. And none of the widows there had the oil added to their cruse. But a little widow over in Zarepta got a miracle. He said further, there were many lepers in Israel, but none of the lepers in Israel got their healing. But a leper down in Naaman got his healing. I'm going to tell you what he was telling them that day. If you don't want it, somebody else does. If Racine don't want it, somebody in Zimbabwe does. If America doesn't want it, I'll find a people somewhere that are hungry. Response was that day. The Bible said everybody in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath and rose up and thrust him out of the city. I'm going to tell you what, it's a dangerous thing when your program precedes the moving of the Holy Ghost. It's a dangerous thing when your political connections overpower the moving of the Holy Ghost. This is the church of the living God, bought and purchased by his own blood. And brother, he's sovereign. And when he gets ready to move, you better move. You better move. You better move. When the Lord gets ready, you better move. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Dad's got a few disciples following him already. This would be a test. They would watch him and see what he would do when he was rebuffed by his own people. They would watch and see how he would respond when he was turned away by his own people. The Bible says very plainly that he, passing through their midst, he went out and he went his way. But he didn't go home to his mama and daddy. He didn't go home and hide out. He didn't go find John the Baptist and say, I must have missed it. I'm going to tell you exactly what he did. The Bible said he went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. Where did he go? He went down to the next synagogue. He went down to the next place of worship. He went down to check their hunger that day. He went down to check their understanding of the scripture. He went down to check their desire for the moving of the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, it's a dangerous place in apostolic Pentecost when we put all of our programs above a moving of God, when we put all of our ideas about how it ought to be done and the order and so forth and so on. God, give us an outpouring of the Holy Ghost when the fire falls fresh from heaven and takes over every part of what we do. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He walked out of that synagogue and he went right down to Capernaum. And the Bible said, in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil and cried out with a loud voice. I'm going to tell you what, an unclean spirit can coexist with your program. An unclean spirit can coexist with your form and your fashion. An unclean spirit can coexist with your little patty cake church. An unclean spirit can coexist with a church that's not praying and not on fire for God. An unclean spirit can coexist with pretty Pentecost, but an unclean spirit cannot coexist when God Almighty is allowed to come in and have his Hallelujah. I don't know how long this man had been there, but just one visit from Jesus Christ before he ever opened his mouth, before he ever opened the scriptures, the devil was already trembling and began to cry out. And he said, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Are you come to destroy?" I know who you are. Again, the Bible said it came to pass on another Sabbath, he entered into the synagogue and taught, and there was a man whose right hand was withered. I'm going to tell you what, we're dealing with people in 2013 that have some serious issues in their lives. There's serious things wrong in relationships and psychological things and other personal issues. I don't know when the last time is that we've had someone, what you would say, well, they're just a normal sinner. No, when they come to God in this day and this hour, they've got some deep issues and deep problems. And for all of their life, they've been in denomination somewhere that try to send them to a 10-step program or send them to some other type of counseling or send them to some kind of doctor that will prescribe some kind of nerve medicine for them. And really what's wrong is their hand is withered and nobody has the power to help them. This man had been going to the synagogue with a withered hand, but brother, just one encounter with an unfettered Jesus, just one encounter with an unconstrained Jesus, just one encounter with the Son of God walking through the midst, and nobody putting chains on him, and nobody saying you can't do that here, and this man was made whole. The Bible said he was made whole. Hallelujah. What was going on in that sanctuary, in that synagogue? I'll tell you what the scribes were doing. I'll tell you what the Pharisees were doing. I'll tell you what the high and mighty were doing. They were sitting there, the Bible said, watching him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day. I'm telling you, Jesus was upsetting their little apple cart. Every bit of control they had over those people was being shot to pieces. Every bit of where they had their thumb on these people was being moved and shaken. I'm telling you, everywhere Jesus walked, he upset the status quo, and he still would like to do that in 2013. I don't know what your idea of a day service is. I don't know what your idea of day in 54 years of camp meeting, but I promise you, back down through the years, every time hungry people came to this camp meeting, God showed up. Every time people came with a desire to see God move, God came into the midst and he did a great work for his people. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I said every time hungry people showed up, that got God's attention. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you just came to critique another sermon, that's about all you're going to get out of this today. But if you came with a need and a hunger, if you came with desire to this meeting this year, I promise you God's going to show up. God's going to move in your situation. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a little time and attention right now. God, I love you in this house today. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. 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 Come on, I feel it in the house today. I feel the presence of Almighty God here today. Feel a moving of the Holy Ghost. I feel a stirring and a troubling of the waters right now. I love you, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. God, I'll talk to you moment, but I'm waiting on you right. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, God's sovereign. He can move when he gets ready to move. I said he can heal when he gets ready to heal. God can touch when he gets ready to touch. He's just looking for a spark of faith in this house today. Hallelujah. Let's love the Lord together. God, I love you in this house today. God, I love you for your presence. I love you for the working of your Spirit today. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Come on, let's reverence the presence of the Lord that's here today. Let's reverence the presence of the Lord that's here right now. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus. I tell you what the Lord's doing right now. He's checking the level of hunger in people's hearts right now. How long has it been since you've come to the house of God and just said, God, whatever you have for this service. God, whatever you have for this service, I want it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How long has it been since you come and said, God, flood me with your presence. God, touch me until I'm broken in your hands. God, touch me until I'm broken in your hands, until my will is totally gone. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I got a few more things I could say, but the Holy Ghost has prompted me to say this right here. John chapter 12 and verse 42. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. They love the praise of men more than the praise of God. When you come to this house hoping somebody will notice your new outfit and you're more worried about showing it off than you are about getting in the presence of the Lord, you love the praise of men more than you do the favor of God. I know God has blessed us. I well know my roots in Pentecost. I remember when they said to me, you can't come to church barefooted anymore. We're moving up. Boy, I was sadly disappointed. But I'm going to tell you what, we didn't have much pride back then. But oh, how the glory of God would come down. If you got a hairdo you can't worship God with, you need to change your hairstyle. If you got an outfit you're wearing, you can't roll in this floor and humble yourself before God, you need to throw it in the trash and burn it today. If you've got a friend or a connection or an acquaintance that you can't get lost in the presence of God before, you love the praise of men more than you do the praise of God. Nothing should be more important to you than having the favor of God on your life. Yes,
Jesus. And I'm pastoring a church that's been around for more than 70 years itself. What happens is we come in with nothing and God blesses us a little, and all of a sudden we've got a reputation to uphold in the community and around our business friends, and some politician shows up and we act like we don't even know who God is. Last September, we were down in Brazil in church with Brother Brad and Brother Cleve Lambeth. We were in a large city in central Brazil. We didn't know it, but the mayor of the city showed up, about three or four bodyguards with him, one of the most powerful men in that city. We didn't know who he was, but I did know this. Those saints, if anything, they worship God a little harder. They back the preacher a little more. Amen. This word to see what we got. They don't need to see a starchy, formal Pentecost, but they need to see a people that's humble before God, that says, God, without you, I wouldn't have anything. I wouldn't have these shoes to dance in. I wouldn't have these nice clothes to wear. I wouldn't be driving that nice car. I'm not ashamed to get in your presence. I'm not ashamed to let you have your way. Some of you spent so long since the power of God come on you and shook you because you resist the moving of the Holy Ghost. Your necks got stiff. Your back's too starchy. Amen. You need to get loose in the Holy Ghost and shake the pride of this world right out of your spirit. If you want God to move like He did back then, why don't you worship like they did back then? Why don't you give said in Luke 13, Jesus went in another synagogue. There was a woman there, bowed over for 18 years. She was bowed over. She could not lift herself up. 18 years of formalism. 18 years of routine. 18 years and nothing happened. And there the Sadducees, the Pharisees were watching him. The Bible said to see if he would heal. This was their remark. There's 6 days when men can be healed. Don't do it on the Sabbath day. Why? Because they loved their program and they loved what they had going. But Jesus came in and he said, woman, be loosed. And all of a sudden, 18 years of infirmity went out the door when the restraints were taken off of him. I'm telling you, God is not restricted today by day or by night. He's sovereign. And when he gets ready to move, we better let him move. Hallelujah. Some apostolic circles because they no longer allow the free course of the word nor the free course of the moving of the Holy Ghost. If we don't want to go the way of all other denominations, we better pull the holds off of this thing and say, let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. Let God arise. Let every man be a liar. Let God be true and let every man be a liar. God is still working in this end time hour. love Him one more time. God, I do love You in this house today. God, I do love You in this house today. God, I do love You in this house today. Hallelujah. Come on, we don't need a little pseudo move of the Holy Ghost. We need the real thing today. Hallelujah. Come on, do you love the praise of men or do you love the praise of God? Do you love the praise of men or do you love the praise of God? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, God is a healer. I said, God is a healer. Let's pray together today.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Jesus. You are hands of victory and grace, God. God, You are the healer. You are the
love the Lord. God's working in this house today. Hallelujah. Have your way right now, Holy Ghost.